This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Have you been waiting for a great deal on a new Chevy car or truck? Now's the time at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet. They need to sell 20 more new vehicles by the end of June, so they'll be giving the best deals of the year. Stock number C371 Silverado Extended Cab with savings of $9,000. $2,000 off Chevy Equinox V6 models. Prices good through June 30th on in-stock vehicles at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, your Chevy truck store since 1946. Chevy runs deep.
Firestone tires are more than just rubber and tread. They're destination seekers, just like you. And this summer, Firestone can help you get the most out of your tires and your tank. Right now, when you buy four eligible Firestone tires, you'll receive a $70 Firestone Gas prepaid MasterCard. Offer valid May 14th through July 8th of 2012. Mail-in claim form required. See participating Firestone dealer for eligible tires and complete details. Promotion card issued by MetaBank.
First of all, in our farm news on this Wednesday morning, in overnight electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat, 727 and a quarter. That's down 1 3/4. September wheat, 745 and a quarter, down 1 3/4. July corn now trading at 655. That's up 9. September corn now trading at 628 and a quarter, up 8 3/4. July soybeans trading at 1401 and a quarter, up 10 3/4. And August beans trading at 1465 and a half. That's up a dime. The overnight crude oil market, 29 cents lower at 79.07. The Brent crude, 66 cents lower at 92.36. The August gold contract, $5.60 lower at $1,569, the U.S. dollar index, 0.026 higher at 82.396. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat closed at 729. That was up 4 3/4. September wheat closed at 747, up 7 1/2. December wheat closed at 766 and a quarter, up 7. July corn yesterday closed at 646, up 15. September corn closed at 619 and a half, up 26 3/4. December corn closed at 624, up 30. July soybeans yesterday closed at 1470 and 1/2. That was down 12. August beans closed at 1455 and a half, down 11 and a half. September beans closed at 1425 and 3/4, down 14 and a quarter. July soybean meal yesterday closed at 427.20, down 56. August meal closed at 424.20, down 59. September meal closed at 418.70, down 58. July soybean oil yesterday closed at 50.88, down 39. August oil closed at 51.06, down 39. September oil closed at 51.27, down 39. July oats yesterday closed at 358 and 3/4, up a dime. September oats closed at 329 and a quarter, up 5 1/4. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois Country Grain prices ended mixed on Tuesday afternoon, with corn and wheat higher and soybeans lower. Corn futures drew strength from the lower-than-expected crop conditions rating in the USDA's weekly crop progress report. Traders also began to even positions ahead of the USDA reports on Friday. In the cash grain markets, trading was moderate. There was weakness noted in the cash corn basis at many river terminals. In central Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 11 to 14 stronger at 657 to 676. Soybeans mostly 8 to 12 cents lower at 1459 to 1475. And cash wheat bids up 3 to 6 at 695 to 710. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 11 to 15 cents at 661 to 695. Soybeans fell 11 to 13 cents at 1464 to 1479, while the wheat bids ended mostly 4 to 8 cents higher at 705 to 755. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 10 to 15 cents stronger at 673 to 683. Soybeans down 11 cents at 1486 to 1490. And the wheat price is up a nickel at 715 to 721. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 6 to 10 cents stronger at 683 to 684. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 10 cents with quotations at 1497 to 1499. Soft red winter wheat gained 4 cents at 729 to 730. And the Milo ended 16 cents higher at 612 to 613. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, July hogs closed at $93.65, up 30. August hogs closed at $89, down 15. October hogs closed at $79.67, down 15. June cattle yesterday closed at $115.25, down 45. August cattle closed at $115.47, down 40. October cattle closed at $119.85, down 57. August feeder cattle yesterday, $147.70, down 21, or excuse me, down 210. September feeders closed at $150.25, down 16, or excuse me, down 165. And October feeders closed at $151.45, also down 165. Once again, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Tuesday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 4,160 head today, are trading $1.04 lower from 95.27 to 102.5 with a weighted average of 97.38. And in Illinois today, there was 14,225 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a hog carcass fell $1.83 today at $99.46. Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Bull Report. Sows traded steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 43 to 45, 4 to 5 weights from $44 to $48, and over 500 pounds from 47 to 51. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts traded steady to weak this morning from $66 to $69. Estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Tuesday. Hogs are at 404,000 on the day. That's up 14,000 from last week, but down 4,000 from a year ago. Cattle are at 129,000 on the day. That's up 2,000 from last week, but down 2,000 from the same time last year. USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values. There was a total of 121 fabricated loads and 60 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up $1.31 at $1.97.74, while selects were up 19 pennies at $1.80.22, leaving the choice select spread at $17.52. At the Shelbyville Livestock Auction opening report for Tuesday, they estimate 470 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers are trading steady to 50 cents lower, while Holstein steers are trading half a dollar better. Choice steers from $1.19 to $1.23, while select and choice cattle are at $1.17 to $1.18.5. Choice Holsteins from $1.10.75 to $1.15, and choice heifers are trading from $1.19 to $1.22.75. At the Arthur weekly hay auction, they had alfalfa small squares, premium quality from 6 to 8 and a quarter a bale, good quality at 5 to 5 and a half. Alfalfa orchard grass, premium quality at $8 a bale, while good quality was at $4.75 a bale. Alfalfa mixed grass, small squares, good quality at 5 and a half a bale, while orchard grass, small squares, good quality was at $6.75. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, $1.52 unchanged. For block cheese, $1.65 and a quarter, up $1.25. For barrel cheese, $1.67 and a half, up $1.50. The spot price for Class 3 milk at the end of trading Tuesday, $15.66. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for June, $6.65. For July, $6.34. Corn delivered to Scottville for June, $6.60. For July, $6.26. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for June, $14.63. And for July, $14.42. Wheat delivered to Scottville for June, $7.04. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield, $6.65. Corn at Scottville, $6.60. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.63. Wheat at Scottville, $7.04. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning. Brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra. Color radar shows no precipitation in our mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
We know that every minute M&M Service Company can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, and so much more. At M&M Service, they are dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit their website, M&MService.com. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
For today, sunny and hot, high temperatures in the mid-90s. We will have south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures in the low 70s. And for tomorrow, Thursday, once again, sunny and hot, the high about 105 degrees. And your extended forecast for Friday through Monday: partly cloudy, continued hot, high temperatures in the upper 90s, low temperatures in the mid-70s. Right now, southeast winds at 5 miles per hour, the barometric pressure rising, our temperature 61 degrees, and a heat advisory is in effect from noon Thursday until 7 o'clock Saturday evening. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Hickory Grove Family Farms, by Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. In our farm news today, we continue our farmer checks on WSMI. We talked to Kevin Neiman of North Litchfield Township. He said his crops are fair so far.
No, you know, in the mornings, I noticed this morning things look pretty good. Yep, corn's, you know, still got a good color to it. And, you know, for right now, it seems like things look okay.
Did you get any rain over the weekend?
No rain. A few drops, but not much.
Okay, now how do the beans look?
Beans look good. I think, you know, stands are there, and they're growing a little bit. So, I mean, weeds, for the most part, are under control, but I think the beans are coming along.
Are the Japanese beetles a problem on your farm?
They haven't been. I mean, spots they are. I mean, there's, you know, eating on some beans. I mean, first corn's starting to tassel, so, I mean, they'll probably start hitting that, but not so much.
What do you do for that?
Just ignore them, I guess. There has been some, I mean, off and on people have sprayed in the past. I don't know. I just never have sprayed for them. It seems like, you know, edges of fields and things like that, they're worse. But, you know.
It doesn't seem to be that much of a problem in the middle of the field, I guess.
Well, I mean, not so much. It doesn't seem like, you know. But I mean, they're spotty just like anything else.
And that was Kevin Neiman of North Litchfield Township. And once again, here's the weekly crop condition report. We join Brad Schwab of the Illinois Agricultural Statistics Service.
Statewide, it was not a good week for Illinois farmers as temperatures averaged 77 degrees, which was nearly 4 degrees above normal, while precipitation was virtually non-existent for the 7-day period ending Sunday, June 24th. There were 6.6 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies confirmed the recently reported statewide drought conditions at 43% very short, 41% short, and only 16% adequate. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile also continued a decline to 36% very short, 48% short, and 16% adequate. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 1,067, which was 129 units, or 14%, ahead of the historic average. Corn in the silking stage was reported at 17%, and this compares with 3% for the 5-year average. The average height of all corn now stands at 53 inches, a growth of 11 inches in 1 week, and this height can be compared to 31 inches a year ago and 36 inches for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in the corn silking category was the West Southwestern District at 41%. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in only 37% good or excellent condition, down 15 percentage points from last week. Soybean blooming advanced to 11%, compared to 1% a year ago and 3% for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in the soybean blooming category was the Eastern District at 20%. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 35% good or excellent condition, down 12 percentage points from last week. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 97% ripe, and this compares with 63% a year ago and 65% for the 5-year average. Wheat harvest advanced to 84%, well ahead of last year's 32% and the 37% 5-year average. In other crops around the state, pastures and alfalfa crops were rated in mostly fair condition. Sorghum planting was virtually complete at 99%, compared with 89% 1 year ago and 79% for the 5-year average. The second cutting of alfalfa was reported at 66%, and this can be compared to 10% last year and 15% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Beef producers from across Illinois and Indiana gathered last week to learn about the latest cow-calf research being done at the University of Illinois Dudley Smith Farm. The 220-plus acre research farm in southern Christian County hosted its annual field day to update interested producers on a number of projects taking place at the facility. Ed Ballard is a retired University of Illinois Extension educator that remains active with the projects at the Dudley Smith Farm. He feels the facility is a vital part of ag research in the Midwest.
You bring people in from other states, man, we'd give anything to have this type of research farm in our state back home. And I think we're just very, very fortunate to have it here, because we can, what I call, kind of practical research out here that they can't do on campus and kind of duplicate it out here. And you get 228 acres, you know, that's a pretty good sized project you're talking about. And plus the additional funding to run research projects. In today's tight economy, I was just reading the paper this morning about there's just no federal funds for research. And this provides an opportunity we still get some of that independent data that's available to everyone. Everyone can use at no cost to them, basically, because the Smith family is providing the funds.
One of the many projects showcased was a first-year study on the effects of cattle grazing on corn stalks and the impact on nutrients within the field. Jacob Seegers, a Ph.D. student at the University of Illinois, is in charge of the study, and he explains.
In the Midwest, a lot of cattlemen feel like they can winter their cattle out on corn stalks. Actually proves to be a really good system. If you have a lot of grain, grazing area is limited. Trying to ascertain whether or not grazing those cattle on corn stalks actually affects the productivity of your corn crop. So we use GPS markers to tag these cattle, and we can monitor their grazing behavior. This research is very preliminary. But we found that compared to sections that weren't grazed at all, we found carbon and nitrogen levels that really dropped in the soils there. But in areas of the field where the cattle spent the most time, those levels were stabilized. So right now we're thinking that the cattle presence, whether it be through manure, whether it be just kind of aerating the soil or what have you in the wintertime, that those cattle are somehow preserving the nutrients in the soil.
In addition to cow-calf projects, the University of Illinois Dudley Smith Farm also hosts studies in row crop production, cattle grazing on tropical maize, production of bioenergy crops, and much more. Approval of the permanent normal trade relations with Russia is the American Farm Bureau Federation's top trade priority in 2012. Dairy farmer Wayne Wood is president of the Michigan Farm Bureau, and he serves on the American Farm Bureau Federation's Trade Advisory Committee. He testified before the House Ways and Means Committee about why this is such an important issue for the nation's farmers and ranchers. The American Farm Bureau Federation's John Miller has more.
Russia will soon be a member of the World Trade Organization. But in order for the United States to get the full benefits as a trading partner, Congress has to grant Russia what is called permanent normal trade relations. During a hearing of the House Ways and Means Committee, Michigan Farm Bureau President and dairy farmer Wayne Wood testified on behalf of the nation's farmers and ranchers on why Congress should not delay.
PNTR for Russia must be enacted by Congress in order to guarantee U.S. access to the market opening and legal commitments that are a part of Russia's WTO accession agreement. U.S. farmers and ranchers will have more certain and predictable market access as a result of Russia's commitment not to raise tariffs on any product above the negotiated rate and to apply non-tariff measures in a uniform manner.
In 2011, the United States was the third largest agricultural supplier in the Russian market, where imports of U.S. food and agricultural products exceeded $1.36 billion. Wood explained that Russia's membership in the WTO should offer opportunities to make that number even bigger.
Congressional approval of PNTR will result in improved market access for U.S. agriculture. Upon accession, average tariff rates for agricultural goods will drop from 13.2% to 10.8%.
By joining the WTO, Russia will now play by WTO rules. Wood urged members of Congress to allow U.S. agriculture to benefit from that level playing field.
An agricultural trading relationship based on international scientific standards and expanding opportunities will benefit both the U.S. and Russia. Our competitors for the Russian market will have the benefit of Russia's accession agreement commitments when Russia becomes a full WTO member. American agriculture must not lose market opportunities to other countries due to inaction.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
Friday is a big day in the Midwest. It is the day the United States Department of Agriculture will update the planted acreage figures for corn and soybeans and release the third quarter stocks numbers. Todd Gleason has this preview.
The third quarter grain stocks report to be released the 29th of June has been really variable over the last several years. In this case, variables code for surprising. The report gauges how much corn and soybeans is left on hand in the United States. It does this by tallying up what has been used and estimating some other numbers. Corn exports and ethanol grind are both reported domestically. Feed use is not. That one's a guess. University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good says exports for the third quarter totaled 390 million bushels of corn and that the total food and residual and industrial use, including the ethanol grind, may have been about 1.6 billion bushels.
Anticipating feed and residual use of corn is made more difficult by the surprising levels of June 1 stocks estimates the past 2 years and the resulting wide range of implied feed and residual use during the March-May quarter. For the entire 2011 marketing year, the USDA currently projects feed and residual use at 4.55 billion bushels, 243 million bushels less than use of a year ago. Implied use during the first half of the year was 247 million less than that of a year ago. If the USDA forecast is correct, use during the last half of the year should be about equal to that of last year.
Darrell Good notes that use during the final quarter of the marketing year, July, August, and September, is expected to be relatively small, that due to the availability of more than the normal amount of new crop corn in August and perhaps a little more summer wheat feeding than occurred last year. It all has implications.
On the surface, third quarter feed and residual use might be expected to be near that of last year. Total red meat and poultry production during the second quarter of the calendar year was about 1.5% less than during the same quarter last year. Egg production was about unchanged, and milk production was up about 6.5%. In addition, the production of distillers' grains was about equal that of a year ago. However, implied use during the third quarter last year was extremely small, and there is less than complete confidence in the accuracy of that estimate. The bottom line is that there's likely to be a wide range of expectations for the June 1 stocks estimate this year.
The ongoing strong cash basis leads Darrell Good to believe this year's feed usage is larger than the third quarter of last year. If this is the case, then he says June 1 stocks could be near 3.1 billion bushels, and use for the year could exceed USDA's current projection of 4.55 billion bushels in the feed and residual use category. Now, Good says forward figuring the stocks number for the other primary Midwestern row crop, soybeans, is a much easier prospect. He thinks the June 1 stocks report for soybeans should be near 650 million bushels.
The June 1 stocks estimates take on a little more importance this year due to the relatively tight year-ending inventories projected for both corn and soybeans. The surprises in recent corn stocks estimates also add some drama to the upcoming report.
The quarterly grain stocks report will be released by USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service at 7:30 a.m. Central, Friday, June 29. I'm Todd Gleason.
Deadlines for entries for the many competitions in the Illinois State Fair are coming up. The fair offers more than 8,700 competitive events to choose from, ranging from livestock and culinary contests to amateur art and talent competitions. Information can be found in the premium books that are available online and in print. They can be found online at www.illinoisstatefair.info under the Competitions tab. Print copies can be obtained from the Competitive Events Office phone 217-782-0786. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, July wheat trading at 728, that's down one. September wheat trading at 746 and a quarter, down three quarter. July corn now trading at 656, that's up a dime. September corn now trading at 631, up 11 and one half. July beans now trading at 1485 and a half, that's up 15. August beans trading at 1470 and a quarter, that is down 14 and three quarter. Part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by Hickory Groves Family Farms.